A new house being framed outside Tallahassee, a common occurrence here. But a recent survey by the Associated General Contractors of America showed that 8 out of 10 building firms in the U.S. can't find labor. And in Florida, it's even worse. And that was before Hurricane Michael flattened entire towns. This week, we headed out to a building site to meet up with members of the Tallahassee Builders Association. Lynn Edwards is executive officer. Doug Barton is the current president. Mark Kessler, the incoming president. We started with Doug. So when it comes to workers, just give me the thumbnail of the problem that you're seeing in getting workers here.
In 2007, the recession, we lost 50% of our industry, and they have not returned. They went and found other work. So as things have picked back up, we're still working with half our workforce.
A lot of people left the industry. And then, Mark, you're left with people who might have aged out of the industry, retired?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, our average aged framing contractor is 57 years old.
So can you give me the kinds of jobs you are missing right now?
Every trade is who we're missing, from drywallers to plumbers to office staff in the construction industry. If you talk to any company, they are looking for help and they can't find it.
And Doug, what are some of the side effects? What happens as a result of not having enough workers?
From a general contractor's perspective, the homes that used to take us 3 to 4 months to build, now they're taking 6 to 8 months.
And I'm sure that your bids have to be higher then?
They do. We have to recover that cost, but you don't cover the full cost. Materials have gone up the last 3 years, probably 30%.
Are you worried about materials going up even more? What with the tariffs?
Tariffs and hurricanes. Oh. Absolutely.
Yeah. Lynn will send us emails several times a day of those looking from Mariana to Panama City to all these places needing their homes to be rebuilt or repaired. And you know, I'm thinking to myself, we struggle day to day to keep up with what we have had prior to the storm. It's
new housing,
just struggling with balancing act. How do you possibly take not enough workers and take on more?
So Lynn, I want to bring you into the conversation. What are you hearing from people who have been hurt by Michael?
The lack of finding anyone to help them, the lack of equipment, a lack of roofers, and a lot of unlicensed activity.
What else? The workers that there are, I'm sure you have to really compete to keep them, maybe raise salaries, Mark, maybe increase benefits?
If there's not enough plumbers in town or not enough electricians in town to do the amount of work, then when they bid the jobs, they raise their price because they know there's no one else to come in to take the work.
Or if Mark has his painter coming, and I know he's coming to Mark's job, and I look at him and I say, listen here, you know, how about a few extra $100 to come by and see me first?
You're patting Mark in the back as you're saying that.
Tallahassee is a small community. There is some of that trading that does go around.
Well, trading's one thing, but you're talking about stealing. You're competing.
Oh, we are competing.
You talked about what happened because of the recession, a huge blow. But then you have this, you know, slow, steady blow that has to do with immigration. I mean, we're reading that some of the cuts in both legal and illegal immigration are impacting the building industry.
They are. If you look at a lot of the trades, they are immigrants. I believe the Hurricane Michael, the damage done over there, if we did not have workers from other countries, that work just would not get done.
So what do you do?
What we're doing through education and bringing our younger kids and introducing them into construction, for decades we've taught them it's got to be college. And, you know, there's a vast majority of them that don't make it through college, or college is not for them. And we're trying to bring them together and say, hey, listen, the construction industry, we need you, and it's lucrative. I was talking to one of my contractors on the way over here, and these guys are making upwards of $25, $30 an hour. You're talking $50,000 to $60,000 a year to repair an air conditioner, and that's climbing. So at some point, there's going to be a higher demand.
You're right. We push college, and for many young people, the college isn't the right thing. It sounds like you need welders, and you said plumbers, and they need training.
Absolutely. Yeah, and most of these curriculums are not, you know, they're not 4-year curriculums. So they can go through Future Builders of America, which is a high school program, transition into a vocational school. So by the time they come out with some sort of experience in high school, you know, they can be an apprentice and work their way through vocational in a matter of 18 months or so, and be in the field making $50,000 a year versus 4-year degree, and they come out, I've read average, you know, graduates making $49,000 a year. So they're not going to have the college debt that these guys have. So it's, you know, it's lucrative.
I want to touch on some of the other aspects of this, but not to leave immigration just yet. If you had the ear of the next governor, you couldn't have a more red, hot, button, divisive political issue right now than immigration. And it's, you're telling me it's necessary for your industry. So what would you want to see?
Immigrant workers are important to our industry, for sure. They are very hard workers. Oftentimes, the immigrants are on the job before anybody else. They're working hard. They're staying till sundown. So they have a work ethic that we don't seem to have in the United States with our young kids now. So I would ask whoever's coming in, we need to have a way for these folks to come in and do the work that our industry and other industries need.
Mark, are you saying you'd like to see more of the workers who might be fit for your industry allowed in?
I suppose that's what I'm saying, yeah. As I've traveled again after this hurricane that we just had, there's a lot of crews, tree crews, roofing crews, and one thing I notice in common of all of them is it's primarily Hispanic workers.
This area needs to be rebuilt.
Absolutely. We need more workers there. I think those builders in that area are in a really bad place because their homes are gone, their place of business might be gone, the shop that they had is gone. It's going to take a lot of builders from a large part of the country. That's just the way it is.
What else would change this equation?
We see a move recently for Votech or industrial arts coming back to the high schools. We've spent many years not exposing young people to that type of work and telling them what Doug mentioned earlier, go to college, go to college. The guys right here, standing here doing this work for us today, are making between 40 and 60 grand a year. That's a good job.
So, Doug, should there be some sort of government involvement, kind of making it more enticing? How else to get there?
I'll revert back to, you know, capitalism. I think, you know, the $50,000, $60,000, and that's, you know, you get into supervisory roles and you're at, you know, $60,000 to $80,000, you know, owners of companies. Double, triple that. One more thing. I think stigma. That's what the big talk was
for
the last 30 years. You got to have the college degree, and kind of downplayed the actual, you know, getting out of your hands-on and doing work. And I think changing that view is the big hurdle you got to get over.
Do you guys worry Florida's future is maybe so uncertain because of the warming seas and the storms that are increasingly violent? Do you worry about 20, 30 years down the road that Florida will not have a building boom?
No, I don't. I think that Doug and I and the other builders build very good homes. The new code, quite the contrary, I believe other states should follow our suit and build strong homes. In Panama City and in Mexico Beach, the structures that survived were not that much different than what we're building right here in Tallahassee. They're just good quality homes.
But jump back to your question. No, if it's global warming, I'm not sure what you were referring to with our state and where do I see
it. The seas warming and no, you know.
This has been going on. This weekend we went down to Carabel and got to explore the shipwrecks from 1899.
That were unrevealed because of the storm.
But from 1899, there's category, you know, whatever, they didn't rate them back then. But the damage was very similar to this, wiped out the city of Carabel. So, no, it's just...
You don't believe the recent report from the government that, you know, we got even less time than we thought, maybe 10 years instead of 20.
Absolutely not. Nope, I believe it's cyclical.
And you're a builder.
Absolutely. For 25 years, I...
I do believe we do affect the environment with what we do and what we build. An area full of asphalt is hotter than an area full of grass and trees. There's no doubt about that. But I also believe it's cyclical. More than that, I think that we can make the right decisions and build the right way and build strong homes, and it doesn't matter what's coming.
Let's check back 10 years. And meantime, resumes? I mean, you want people to...
Absolutely. You know, we're pushing these young guys to come up through the ranks and go through their Future Builder of America program and get into the construction industry.
That's Doug Barton, Mark Kessler, Lynn Edwards, all of the Tallahassee Builders Association. We stood in front of an unfinished house damaged by the hurricane.